Up until about 200 years ago, a star-filled sky is something that everyone had experience with. It was there every single night of the year, all year long. And it's only really been these last 100, 200 years that we've fundamentally changed this world in which we live by getting rid of night.
So light pollution is the reason that so many of us cannot see the Milky Way anymore. How do we limit light pollution?
The important thing to get across here is I'm not advocating that we get rid of lights, that we go back to the Stone Age, that we'll all be happier if we live, a paleo lighting environment. No, what I'm really talking about is it's important to put light where we need it, when we need it, in the amounts that we need. Have the light just shine downwards onto the street, downwards onto your property. It's when we put giant globe lights or things that shine light straight up into the sky, it may look kind of nice, but that light's doing nothing useful, and you're paying for the electricity.
And this is an energy issue as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the things that I share with folks is that a typical light bulb that shines light in all directions, that half of the light that's produced that shines above the horizon does nothing useful for you, but you're paying for that electricity. So imagine if you and your town could replace all those lights so the light simply goes downward where you need it to be safe. You could cut your electric bill for your town in half, and you get the stars back.
A lot of your work has to do with the national parks and the night sky there, and you've started sort of a poster campaign that says half the park is after dark.
Right. So one of the things that we've realized, that the Park Service has realized, is that people go to the national parks to see the stars because they can't see them at home anymore. Current estimates are roughly 60% of U.S. and European populations can no longer even faintly see the Milky Way from where they live. So when people come out to the national parks, when they come out to places like Wyoming, suddenly they see what they've been missing all these years. So what we're trying to do is to really advertise that, to make this a tourist draw, and therefore it can actually help communities out here and around the parks. It can be one more reason to bring tourist dollars here. And so just like the WPA program back in the 1930s had this poster campaign to see America, today we're doing a similar one that's See the Milky Way, and to say half the park is after dark.
And you can see the Milky Way from Yellowstone and Natural Bridges and all these different parks.
They're some of the best places to do it. Parks that are beautiful by day are equally beautiful by night.
Are they under threat of light pollution?
Sadly, they are. Communities that are around that are interested in tourists have big hotels, great big signs, the McDonald's with the lights on all night long. And so they actually are threatening these night skies.
And you've taken lots of photos after dark in the parks, and some of them are in your book, Stars Above, Earth Below, A Guide to Astronomy in the National Parks. And these photos, they almost don't look real. I mean, they're so vivid. They look like space telescope photos. When people see these photographs of yours, what kinds of reactions do you get?
There are certain photos that when I put up on the screen, I can hear people gasp. I hear, oh, and wow. And then I have people ask me, well, that can't be real. You must have digitally put a couple pictures together. Is that right? And I have to say, no. What I'm capturing here is what you can actually see for yourself. And that's been my number one goal. And when I was writing the book, in fact, each chapter ends with a see for yourself section, because I do want people to know this is what you will see. If you come out to the park and give your eyes the half an hour it needs to really open up and adjust to the darkness, you will see more than you have ever seen before.
Those reactions must speak to the fact that we do not see the sky anymore as it really is.
Exactly. We've completely divorced ourselves from this natural nocturnal world. Where I teach right now, I teach in the University of Redlands in the outskirts of Los Angeles. And on a summer evening, especially when the smog has blown in, you can look up in the sky and you can count all 12 stars. And when you can only see 12 stars, there's no reason for you to ever look up. And if you don't look up, the world ends at the horizon as far as you're concerned. And so one of the things I'm also trying to let folks know about is the stars have had a real driving influence on science throughout our history. Almost every scientist I know was impacted by a star-filled sky or something in their past like that. And so if we never even bother to look up, if children never even think to look at the sky, we're in serious danger of losing this next generation of curious potential scientists.
Because it's this, you're looking into something so much vaster than the human experience.
You're looking into deep space and deep time when you go out and look into a star-filled sky. You can't help but wonder, what is that? What are those stars? Is there anything else out there? You know, what does it all mean? Isn't this universe larger than myself or larger than the problems I'm having right now? And you want to know about it. There's both a scientific need, but there's also a spiritual need when you look up at a star-filled sky. And we are taking all of that away. We're in danger of losing it. So when you come to a place like Wyoming where we still have it, that makes it much more important to preserve.
And so you talk about preserving the night sky the way some people might talk about preserving a forest or a lake.
Exactly. Because both of them give you this sort of sense of natural wonder and beauty, a place to go and get in touch with the world in which we live. And when people say, well, you know, there's Hubble Space Telescope pictures of stars. Why do you need to see one? It's the same reason I say, well, there are pictures of trees. Why do you really need to see one?